All right, folks, here we go again. PGA DFS Live Before Lock with awesomeo.com. I am Ben Raza. I am joined by the Iron Man himself, Eric Lindquist. Third Sport, you still got a little gas in the tank, though. We're going to get through this. We're talking all things Sony Open. Got our feet wet with a 38-man Tournament of Champions. This is a little different deal. I know you're excited to have Cut Sweats back and just golf in general.
Hey, let's just intro golf clap for Ben Ross over there. Coming off of a pretty dry 2021 by your standards. 2022, W on the board. Congratulations.
Yeah, outright season. Got one. Cam Smith. Let's go. Good job. My lineups, you know, they scored like 800 points, which in normal times would have been just print fest. I think that's good for a min cash. We're not going to see that this week. It's a little different. We're going to get into the TOC recap. We're certainly going to talk about this course and the weather and the rank them and all the fun things we do and answer your questions here. But where we start, we're starting with our friends Yahoo Fantasy. Mm-hmm. You guys know the drill. Eric's got in the background on the TV. I don't even know how you do that, but it looks kind of cool. And they are doing some fantastic things. We've talked about this a lot from the NFL to the NBA to the PGA. Yahoo is putting out tournaments that are turning our eyes with management fees, rake back, giant prize pools, and it continues with golf. So they have fantastic deal for new Yahoo users. You're going to get 1 month free of Awesomeo Plus Platinum with a first-time deposit and paid contest entry. You see it on the screen there. Basically, you sign up and do that. Yahoo is going to give us your name. You're going to get that. If you have any questions, support at awesomeo.com, but I cannot recommend more. Yahoo's contest, really soft pricing for golf. We'll get into that tonight. A lot of guys at the min that we can take advantage of. So if you're looking to play some PGA and you haven't signed up for Yahoo, again, you're getting that free month of Awesomeo Plus Platinum, and all our tools can be catered to all the different sites. It's a great, great deal. But I just want to ask you right off the top, Eric, it's not a non-cut. We had a non-cut last week. This is the first event where we've got 100 plus golfers to choose from. Do you kind of say, okay, this is a little different, or do you look at what we saw last week and start to fold that in?
What we saw last week and folding in, like, just basically how everybody performed last week?
Yeah, in terms of, like, okay, you know, we got four rounds for 30 guys that are here or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then we've got about 100 and plus guys who are just unknown. How do you divvy that up? Just very macro before we dive in.
Yeah. So for me, we saw a number of guys play, and I'm throwing most of it out the window because these are two very different golf courses. Now, there's a part of me that looks at a guy like Cameron Smith, where he's won this golf tournament before, being this one, not just the one that he won last week at Kapalua. He's won at Wailea before. You know, he won in a playoff, that wedge that whatever his face hit over the green that basically gave him the championship. Pretty straightforward there. Like, Cameron Smith can play a number of different places well, though, because he hits his irons really well. He is the best putter basically in this entire field. I believe second in strokes gained putting, next to our boy Beasy, who's back in our life. So good to see Christian Bezuidenhout existing in the world. But, like, legitimately, I'm not reading into a ton other than, you know, Sung J.M., nice to see some good form. Good to see some decent enough form from guys like Hideki. It was just good to see them have a pulse, but I'm not going to go crazy with their results.
I think it'd be a mistake to do that. And obviously, I got strong evidence to support that, because last year at the Tournament of Champions, I really liked Kevin Na. He was awful. When I say awful, he lost strokes in all four categories, and then he won at Sony. You can flip it that quickly. If you're there, you're obviously pretty good. I don't read much into it. I like that my guys traditionally got four rounds there and you get some reps, but I am with you. It was such an easy course. We had guys going 30 plus under it, as everyone saw. Very generous fairways. We're not going to see scoring like that because this is a par 70, but we are going to take some of that in here. But let's roll it into weather and withdraws. The weather looks beautiful. Maybe you see something that I'm not, but to me, this just looks like no problem with the wind. The course could maybe be a little soft at times and have some rollout in other areas, but what are you saying? Nothing major for me.
Yeah, there was the quote that we had. You know, I like to go through some presser quotes just to kind of see how certain guys are talking about their game early on. And I think the biggest one that everybody's going to point to from the get-go was our friend Webb Simpson, who was talking about the fairways being very, very firm comparatively, and then the greens being soft and receptive. Somebody's going to shoot 59 this week. Just put it down, write it in. There is a 59 being shot this week. This is a par 70, so 11 under gets it done. We've seen Justin Thomas shoot 59 here before. I think something like that, with how nice it's going to be. Generally, wind is the main defense of a place like this. You get some crappy weather, and I think the weather's been on and off decent the last couple of years, but like we've seen some rough weather spots. This is not going to be that. It's going to be an absolute scoring fest, even with tight fairways.
You're supposed to save the hot takes for the end. The 59 is a steamy hot take.
I can tell you who's going to shoot it too.
Okay, well, there we go. You know what? You can save that. That's a little carrot for the end of the show. Withdraws, obviously Bryson, he's out. Ches Reavy, Troy Merritt, Lucas Aber, Higo. I'm just looking at the list and the guys that have a giant out button next to them. That's the strong indication. But no one has withdrawn recently that I've seen. These guys have been out all week. They're not in consideration, clearly. So it looks like all systems go. I mean, it's early in the year. Everyone should be healthy. I think we're playing this pretty straight up, correct?
Yes, we're playing it straight up. It's going to be a lot of birdies. Not like last week where we had, you know, a bunch of par fives and the guys were just completely destroying it. I mean, it's going to be like your mid-20s, I would assume. It hasn't really even gotten that deep here in recent years. Kevin Na, I mean, he played awesome last year. Obviously, played a lot of catch up there that final round. It's definitely going to be something where I'm happy to go back and invest. He shot 61-65 over the weekend here. So that kind of stuff is definitely in play, where don't be comfortable. No, there's no early sweating this week. We'll put it that way. If you're winning on Saturday, don't feel very secure with your life.
No, but it is a little better just because of the cut. Like last week.
Oh, totally.
Straight lawless. At least here after Friday, you know, 6-6 will be important, of course, mm-hmm. as we know. But the good thing about Kapalua, just like the good thing about Wailea, we've seen these, you know, the start of the PGA season is very, very standard. I like that. This is a course at Sony. We've seen this going back, you know, a decade plus, it feels like. So we know what we're getting. We've got a par 70. We've got Bermuda. It's a short course. When you look at that, do you have a type? Do you think anyone can kind of excel here? We've seen winners have a theme, and that theme is not the best off the tee, make your putts. The Patton Kizzire types.
Yeah, it's interesting because you see a golf course like this and not many people hit the fairways, but the rough isn't very long, which kind of opens it up to, you just got to be in play. You just got to get yourself in certain spots. It's positional golf. It's playing angles. It's doing some of that, as opposed to, you know, it's more tactician golf. It's not necessarily just go out and, you know, have to hit the fairway in a penal US Open style deal. But you definitely need to be hot with the irons. You need to make a lot of putts. That's going to be kind of a theme. Like, can a guy like Hideki playing golf in a bubble make enough putts to be viable here in this spot? That's the kind of stuff that you really have to ask yourself here this week for certain players. But yeah, I'm definitely with you. We're definitely looking at the guys who can just make a lot of birdies around the green, guys who can get hot with their irons and spike some upside.
No doubt. I mean, the driving accuracy at this event compared to a standard event is much lower. And I think it's because the lack of punishment.
Yes.
It's not that big a deal. You can work out of it. If the greens are receptive, it's going to be, you know, go for those flags and then you've got to convert. There's no doubt about that. And when we look at this course, I think that that's kind of what we're dealing with. I'm not doing anything special. I do think you want to, if you're talking about a type, well, let's just run through, you know, again, I don't think it's always indicative, but if you look at some of the past champions, you've got, you know, Kevin Na and guys like that. I mentioned Patton Kizzire. Mm-hmm. You've got Cameron Smith. You've got Matt Kuchar. It's a type. It is. It doesn't mean that an aggressive driver of the ball can't win or can't succeed. But clearly, I think we know, like some of other courses, that type that you described is the preferred build.
Yeah, it totally is. And again, we're probably going to have a little bit of thematic. You've got me building lineups based on theme. I think there's going to be a recurring theme for this one. And I generally value guys who hit irons and putt well a little bit more. It's going to be a reason that I'm shying away on a guy like Hideki, maybe a little bit more than the field at a 10-6 number, because I think there's a number, and I mean a number of plays around the 8K range, around the upper sevens, that I just want to be invested on. And you know, there's guys like Cameron Smith. He's played this golf course. We have 23 rounds of sample size with him. Hideki, 25. We kind of know what we're getting into with a number of these guys. Webb Simpson's played here 43 rounds of golf. Mark Leishman, 48. You're going to see a definite kind of, for me, gearing towards those iron players. We'll get into it here, but you'll definitely pick up on it. I want putters. I want iron players. It's pretty straightforward.
What are you going to do? We're going to get into rank them in a second, but I just want to ask you, Cameron Smith is kind of on an island because Bryson withdrew. He's $600 clear of Decky. What do you do with the champ from last week?
It's hard for me. Like this is a really difficult starting point. We've got him projected for 22% here at Osmo. He's somebody that I generally would be shying away coming off of a win, but it doesn't seem like at 11-2 with how much I like getting away from Hideki and how much I like getting away from Sung J.M., who is somebody that, you know, it doesn't feel great considering we saw some really good form out of Sung J.M. towards the fall swing. And it's weird because I have a bias towards playing a guy like Maverick McNealy, who's never even seen this golf course. And then Sung J.M., who, you know, it's just he's 25% and I'm getting lower rostership going towards a guy who, you know, obviously last week, I don't want to read too much into it, but Cameron Smith's played well here at Waialae as well. Iron player, putter, hard for me not to like him in the builds.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guy's playing out of his mind. He's already won here. He's built for it. The only thing is a slight opportunity cost. It's very soft pricing. Yeah. There's a million guys you could play, but you are paying that premium. But let's get into it. Let's get into rank them.
Yep.
Chat, like I said, we talked about this last week. This show, we're going to get into players, of course, but we're going to be jumping around. If you have questions on your lineup, if there's a guy, hit us with it. We'll go rapid fire. We'll get them in. But we're starting with the top at rank them here. And that brings us to Decky versus Sungjae versus Leishman. So these are the kind of the next options on that table. Of course, Webb is in there as well. Are you looking to play two of these guys? Are you looking to prioritize? What do you do in the 10K range?
10K, I'm playing a lot of Mark Leishman at 10K. Yeah. He's the guy that jumps to the top of the board for me. I'm obsessed with Mark Leishman this week. He's going to shoot 59 on this golf course. There you go. I'm throwing it out from the right from the get-go. You know, last week, giving my hot take at the end did not work well. But Mark Leishman, going through his sample size, I've been looking a little bit more at course history, trying to find some kind of different trends for guys. His iron play on this surface out here, he's fifth in strokes gained approach amongst this field. He has 48 rounds of sample size. There's something about this golf course where his stats, normally you're seeing around the green kind of being his weaker point. He's 24th amongst this field at this golf course. It just seems like he plays well here. Everything seems to kind of be trending towards landing at a 10K Mark Leishman. He's the cheapest of the 10K range. That's hashtag math for you. But coming off a fall swing where we saw fourth, third, Fortinet and Shriners, wasn't great coming down the stretch there, but 10th at the Century, I'm not going nuts with that. He was just really, really poor around the greens. And those are much bigger greens at Kapalua than what you're going to see here this week. A little bit more tactician target golf. I think that plays towards Mark Leishman's strength, which is mid-range putting, short putting. So I'm really firing hard on Leishman.
He's healthy. I liked him a lot last week. He played well. He's in a crowded range. He's not going to be sneaky, but he's not going to be the overwhelming play either. So I have no problem with that. Talking lineup construction here, I'm very comfortable having two north of 10. You can double up with these guys. You're going to have about 7,300 left. That's plenty. You could still land in the sevens at the bottom if you wanted to.
I have a question. Do you sure. get worried that Webb Simpson's going to be crazy popular this week like I do?
So I do think that as crazy as this sounds, his quote, his very vocal like press conference will impact his ownership and not in a good way if you wanted to play him. And I don't think it's overly indicative of anything. It's good to know that Webb, I knew Webb fit this golf course already. He's had success here. He knows what he's doing. His year was a little rocky and he did acknowledge that. I just don't know what exactly is going to give unless people are very eager to double up. You've got Sungjae and Webb are going to be very popular. Leishman is also going to garner some ownership. I guess Decky would be the one who's going to be the lowest owned amongst this group, but I still have interest in Decky. I know he can't really putt right now, but when he does, the guy is absolutely lethal with his irons.
Yeah. And this would seem like, you know, again, it just kind of plotting it around, but I would want it to play a little bit more difficult. I just kind of go back to Japan. I think about Augusta. I think about some of these spots where he just kind of rolled the lights out of it. The St. Jude played really well at. That's Bermuda. So, I mean, maybe there's something to draw there. But that Zozo, we don't have any strokes gained data. I just know that he rolled the ball really well just watching a lot of that golf tournament towards the end of October last year. It's a Decky. You know what you're getting into. If he putts well, you're probably in a good spot. But more times than not, I've just been full fading him. knowing that you're probably getting a second, or you're getting a 25th or 30th here in this spot. I just think playing golf in a bubble doesn't suit him as well as it might suit other guys.
That's fair. No doubt about it. I guess for me, the fade, he's not super popular, so you're not getting paid off as much if he has a middling finish. It still can be very, very effective. But let me ask this. How many lineups, and obviously we don't need a number, but just the philosophy, do you think you're going to have none of the guys so far, and you're actually going to start with like Kevin Na or below?
So Kevin Na or below, the guys that I'm going to start with. So like the top tier, who am I going to get to the most?
Just in the sense of like your most expensive golfer on these teams, are you going to make it a priority to get either Cam Smith or one of the tens at minimum? Are you saying, yes, you know what? Give me Corey Connors to start my lineup, or give me Answer to start my lineup.
I think you could do that. I'm probably not, because I'm going to be very, very, I'm taking a very strong stance on Mark Leishman. Cameron Smith, I'm surprised that he's like low 20s. And so that's somebody that I'm comfortable getting to. As you said, you can double up in the 10K range. Well, if I go to the most expensive and the cheapest guy in a lot of my builds, I'm still going to be able to scattershot the 8K, 7K range and be just fine and not have to go completely dumpster diving here. So for me, I think you can probably start with an Answer. I think Answer somebody that is kind of a wild card. He's never really played that well here. Looking at his advanced metrics on this golf course, 12 rounds played, and his putter is just really, really bad here. But that's kind of the story of him anywhere. If he putts well, his iron play is something that can catapult him on any golf course. Played well at the St. Jude as well, so you can't just handpick something like Hideki. I think that might be an interesting way to kind of do it, is looking at kind of that St. Jude on Bermuda in a stronger field than what this is, and maybe trying to take some shots on them. But I'm finding myself getting to too much Leishman that I'm not too concerned with, you know, starting my builds in the 9K range, although definitely more viable on a week like this where you have Billy Horschel, who is somebody that I'm always going to be interested on Bermuda. Russell Henley, that is going to be extremely popular. Maverick McNealy's never played here, but I just love the talent. I mean, there's a number of these 8K guys that you can have a pretty balanced build easily.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, when you have cuts in play, balanced builds always get a boost because you need to get six. And the guys at the bottom, their made cut equity is very low. So a couple things here from the chat. Don't love Decky in projected birdie fest. Does better in tough courses, but there is the ownership game. I agree with all that. I think he's a reasonable tournament play because of the ownership and just because he's that good. But it's not the ideal. He is more suited to win, you know, at 12 under than 24 under. What do we think about builds with two 6K guys in GPP? I don't mind it, pending that you're doing it for the reasons of you really like the upper ranges. All that's going to do is unlock the ability to get the guys we're talking about right now. If you don't like them, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's going to get hairy down there. We're going to talk about
it, yeah.
That's what we're here to do and help you guys out with it, but as it stands right now, it's not something where I'm prioritizing that kind of a build. I'm finding the 7-8K range pretty full of talent that I don't have to go crazy with it. As I said, if you're going to go Cameron Smith plus Hideki, you're going to probably run into a spot where you got to maybe play one or two of those guys. But I'm going to be kind of scattershotting one in a lot of lineups. I don't want to go too nuts, though.
Let's talk about this next range. So next guys up, we've got Corey Connors versus Taylor Gooch versus Russell Henley. Some big time ownership plays there. Corey Connors is absolutely deadly with the irons. The putter comes and goes. It hasn't been great in all spots, but if you want to play the course history game, I don't know if that's something that you want to entertain on a short sample size, but Corey Connors has gained over 2 strokes putting in all 3 events that he was here, and he gained over 5 strokes in 2 of the 3. I think it's kind of noisy, but does that impact him? You rank them for me.
Yeah, so I'm in love with Corey Connors on this golf course. I'm gonna play a lot of Corey Connors. Most of my builds, again, I said I have interest in Cameron Smith. You could have 35% of Cameron Smith, and that makes 65% of my lineups more likely to have Leishman and Connors in them. He's gonna be another big stand that I have. He's popular at 20%, but he's less popular than Taylor Gooch. And as much as I love Taylor Gooch, I knew he was going to be a very, very uncomfortable fade to start off this season. We were playing him sub 10%. We were playing him sub 20%. It's hard at 26, 30% for me to really want to go too nuts with this guy. Century, he looked all right. I mean, everybody looked all right there for the most part. He finished dead middle of the field there at 15th, and it's fine. I'm just looking at the talent, and I think everybody is no question about his talent now at this point after the fall that he had. But Taylor Gooch is just going to be very popular in a lot of the stuff, some of the smaller field single entry stuff that I'm going to be going towards. So I'd rather find the money to get to Corey Connors, where you talk about his major bugaboo being the putter. Can the guy get the putter going? And out here, it looks like he can. And, you know, 0.4, he's actually not a bad putter. What am I talking about? He's just fine. So we're going to fire up a lot of him this week.
But he is most likely, as we just talked about, you're looking to pair him with another top-end player in these lineups. Yeah.
Yes, okay. I'm playing a Leishman, Connors. Like my big single entry, it's Leishman, Connors, and that's the start.
So if I had to rank them, I would go Connors over Henley, over Gooch. Gooch, it's more of an ownership thing. Mm-hmm. You know, in a vacuum, it'd be a little different. These guys, you're talking about pure iron players. These are three of, you know, on the short list of best guys with the approaches. Connors, typically around the green and putting, is a weak suit. Maybe there's something at this course that he really does like. I guess we're going to find that out as the years go by. Taylor,
chat with Kevin Na. I mean, Kevin Na is my wife's favorite golfer on planet Earth. So she loves Kevin Na. She thinks that the little daughter running around is like the cutest thing that's ever happened in golf. And so I'm willing to like roster Kevin Na in a lineup or two. I would have 0% if my wife didn't like him. 0%.
Kevin Na is a perpetual better bet at these prices to me.
Yes.
Like the guy wins. I don't think that he's a great play at this price point because the miscut equity, you know, it's just one of those things. But this is an interesting build because if you forego the tens, you could, if you wanted to, you could play three here. Like answer Connors, Gooch. Leaves you with 7,200 for three spots. That's very doable. I don't love that build, but if you don't like the guys in the 10K range as much as we do, that is something to strongly consider. But talk to me a little about Russell Henley. He's always kind of frustrating. We know he can get it going. Obviously, the guy's a winner on tour. He's got experience. Are you just kind of indifferent here? If you get him, you get him, or are you doing something somewhat drastic?
Well, it's hard to be indifferent on a guy who's this popular. He's 25%, mm-hmm. and that's kind of a clear cut. Like you kind of got to make decisions on these guys. I mean, your most popular golfers in the field are Gooch, Henley, M, Simpson. So we're looking at kind of a pretty straightforward deal where we got to make decisions on them. I've always been in the camp of playing Russell Henley. I'm a little bit biased towards him having, you know, actually played some golf with him in my life in Palm Springs before when he was getting ready for that golf tournament. So Russell Henley and I have actually played a little bit of golf together. So like I'm biased towards him in that regard. I will say it just comes down. My thing with him is he's just such a spike iron player that it's hard not to like him in certain spots, but the putter's been really weird lately. And this is just kind of from the fall. And I don't really know what to make of this. Maybe you can help me kind of break it down, but I've always thought of him as a really good putter. You go back to his spring last season. He basically just had that run from the Sony until the Honda where he was just hot. Was gaining strokes putting all over the place. The Honda, obviously Bermuda, 8.2 strokes gained putting, but then just fell off the planet here. He went to the claw. He's been fighting the saw grip a little bit. I'm biased towards him, but I think this is the week I probably hit some eject. It's a little bit too high of ownership. I don't think you're giving up a whole lot of talent equity going to Billy Horschel, Jason Kokrak, Matt Jones. We just, you know, saw go berserk and Maverick McNealy, I think is kind of more of my stand in this mid 8K range. So as much as I want to play a guy who's strokes gained approach is first in this entire field, that goes against everything I believe in. I think the putter, I just have so many questions about right now. I'd rather not play a chalky Russell Henley.
Yeah, I think, again, this is where ownership is really, really important because some of these guys, it's the first tournament, you're going to see weird things. There's a lot of game theory. Russell Henley's been on tour for many, many years. If you zoom way out, Russell Henley's a good putter. It's an asset. If you zoom in, it's been to his detriment in a lot of situations in 2021. Will it regress? I have no idea. You know, obviously the irons have been extremely strong for a very long time. And I think you can lean on that if you want, but you have to know that Russell Henley's putting is going to be very, very erratic if we're taking a sample size of 2021.
Exactly. Well, especially the most recent sample size of 2021. Like I'll throw some short-term form in there. Like in golf, you kind of have to show it. You have to show it a little bit here in this spot because it's been that brutal for him. Like this isn't like a small downtick from his regular putting. We're talking about -4, -5, -6. We're talking about some massive, massive putting problems. So I'm on the side where I can't really go there right now.
He is. He definitely prefers Bermuda for what it's worth. I agree with that. But yeah, I think that I'm not going to get over on him, but it's more of just a product of the field liking him more than I do. I think Russell Henley is a fine play. Is he upwards as the highest owned player on the slate? That would be a no for me in the first event. All right, we're going to keep it moving. But before we do, obviously, we've been citing some ownership projections for you. Of course, the player projections, the top stacks, the tools, all the things, the pro plays. All of this is available on the Awesomo Plus app. You can get a weekly pass. It's going to include everything, not just golf, $29.95. It's going to full access the content that we've been using, the tools we've been citing, and of course, all the things that me and Eric are using each and every week to make our lineups. Jason, Alex, the whole team, you want to use PGA Live Before Lock for 25% off your first week of Awesomo Plus Platinum. A fantastic deal. Got a lot of things going on here, and it's just the start of the season. If you're looking to get into golf, you don't have to lock yourself in for the whole year. Get in awesomo.com/join or awesomo.com/promos if you want to see all the deals we have. That is another page I would strongly recommend doing. Now, back to the golf, but I do want to say, friends, it's good to see everyone in. I know we had some people trickling in a little late. If you are here and you haven't hit that like button, you guys know the drill. Our goal for this show is to build it up and show that support. It's such a good community. One of my favorite shows of the week. If you can support us and press that thumbs up, makes a huge difference. Really, really would appreciate it. We'll see what we can do a little late in the show. We're going to get some betting takes. We're going to get some hot takes. But we want to keep it rolling here. Maverick, McNealy, verse EVR, verse my boy, Seamus Power. This is a loaded range. I'm talking about the eights here. I love all these guys. I think you could order these pretty much anyway, and I wouldn't push back. But how do you order what is surely going to be some important guys?
Yeah, so Maverick McNealy has never played this golf course. I don't care that Maverick McNealy hasn't played this golf course. He's the guy that I wrote up as one of my favorite bets, 45-1, 50-1 that was lingering around. He's can, you know, you can get 5-1 on a top 10, 4.5-1 on a top 10 as well. He just stands out as a player that I just believe in. And I've constantly talked about on these shows being somebody that can pop in a similar fashion to a Sam Burns. Now, I don't have Sam Burns to click on Bermuda here this week, so that's sad. That takes a guy out of my pool, but whatever. I'm going to be rostering Maverick McNealy here in this spot. First time appearing at YLA, but it's just he's top 50 across the entire field in terms of every single strokes gain category. He's just a really well-rounded golfer, somebody that I think is going to be elite sooner rather than later. Maybe not like top 10, top 15 player in the world elite. You know, he was the number one amateur for a long time, somebody that showed a lot of pedigree early on, hasn't come to full fruition here until a little bit recently. But when you start seeing these former number one amateurs start to get their footing here in the professional golf world, you want to be in there sooner rather than later. And I think Maverick McNealy made a little bit of a turn here in the fall. We're starting to see more than just his putter come to fruition, somebody that can do it in a multitude of ways. So I'm excited to be investing in him in this range. He's kind of the main dude I wanted to highlight. But as for the rest of them, you know, it's obviously a very loaded range. Our boy, Seamus Power there, 8,100. We absolutely love this human being. Of course, he goes out and wins a golf tournament, the Barbasol that you can't really even do anything with. Played well at the RSM. There were also no contests for that. So we've missed like both of our golden opportunities. I'm hoping that he can get it done for us this week.
Probably my favorite player price adjusted. I really like the spot for him. He played last week. He came in 15th. It didn't move the needle. He gained off the tee. He gained with the approach. He gained around the green just slightly. He lost with the putter. It was really uneventful. You look at where he's really excelled. Winner at Barbasol, fourth at RSM, fifth at Corrales, sixth at RBC Heritage. These are all the same type of courses. They're not long. They're not aggressive. RBC Heritage is a lot more difficult, but this is a guy that can lean on the short game. He's also just a simply better player than his old data. I think it would be a mistake to look at Seamus and look at like 2019 statistics, similar to Maverick in some ways. I think that Maverick has also turned the corner. Guy should have won during the swing season. I think he's probably going to win this year in 2022. He's just too good not to. So I like these guys a lot. I wouldn't mind pairing them all up and just saying, you know what, I'm going to take one 10K guy, three 8K guys, and then see where I land. I'm going to plug that in right now. Maverick, EVR, Seamus. I'll throw your boy Leishman in. Mm-hmm. 7,700 left. You can do a million different things with a build like that. I think there's win equity in this range. really strong buy on the lower eights for me.
Look at us. We're in lockstep this week more than we are most weeks. I think that's
probably bad, but we'll go down easy. Together. Easy. No, you don't want to be tied to the anchor that is me, but you know what?
Mr. You bet. I mean, I didn't bet him outright last week. I was completely off of Cameron Smith, and now I'm looking to recoup some losses. So I'm going to roster him, and I'm sure he's going to shoot 80 one of these rounds and just going to completely just sink me, but whatever. I don't care. Once again, this is just golf where you have to kind of look at it in such a week to week basis. And there's so many things that we can kind of gauge based on a long-term sample. But yeah, as you said, Seamus Power, definitely somebody that it would be a mistake to go a little bit further back on. I mean, just looking at him over the last 50 rounds, he just strokes gained total third in the field, fifth in DK scoring, 8,100. Everything just points to him being a phenomenal play here. That's the same reason that I love Maverick McNealy. If you just kind of group it on DK points, and neither one of these guys are going to be par five scoring beat down guys. And both of these par fives are super easy on this golf course, but like overall, you're just looking at par four scoring, par three scoring. And both these guys, they get it done a little bit differently where they can just pop the lights out of it any given week. And seeing them grouping in DK points amongst the 10K players, that's the reason you want to be rostering them.
Yeah. They both can clearly roll it. And then there is something again in a more, it's early in the year. I strongly believe in having some, I don't want to say philosophical because that's a little too disturbing, but like, honestly, guys like Maverick and Seamus to me have the chance that we look back and we're like, okay, these guys should have been 11K. There's also a chance they randomly popped and they actually weren't that good, but they're the type of players like Russell Henley is Russell Henley at this point. I think he's pretty much where he should be. The form will dictate his price, but there are players in this field that we don't know. Cam Davis is another one. Is he that good? Christian Bezuidenhout, maybe he's just incredible. And obviously the list will go on as we get lower. But to me, Maverick and Seamus, if you believe in their talent, these are really, really, really good prices early in the year. And they're only going to increase. All right, here we go. We're getting a little lower, working down mid range. Third, fourth man in some of these. These are guys that over on Yahoo, they could be near the minimum. These are guys in the betting market north of 50-1, most likely. I'm going to hit you with a couple different names and I want you to rank them for me. We've got Joel Dahman, the bucket hat man. Tanayu, what is this guy's first name? I was ready.
Probably not him.
Takumi Kanaya. Guy's got talent. We don't see him a lot. 7,400. And then Keegan Bradley is also here, and he somehow made the list in this rankum. So you've got Joel Dahman, you've got Kanaya, who's the unknown, and then you've got Keegan.
Not Kanaya.
Wow. Seriously, though, are you looking at him at all? This is someone we don't see a ton, but this dude, it seems like he can really play.
Seventh at the Zozo, 44th, first at the Zozo. Bainley plays the Zozo, plays in Japan, and plays in majors. So pretty limited sample, but man, we've never really seen him pop until the Zozo, which, you know, other than Hideki and a little bit of some other smattering of Americans heading over there, it wasn't like the greatest field on planet Earth. 41st in the Zozo the year before. If you want to get to a little bit in 150, like why the heck not? Like that's fine, but Keegan is a little bit more of a known quantity. You said Joel Dahman. Joel Dahman's going to be very popular, but I think probably rightfully so. 7,600 there for him. He had a really good fall, like quietly a good fall. And it wasn't like he spiked a ton of outside aside from Houston, which, you know, the Houston Open also was tougher fairways. That just played tougher, I would say. But generally, I think of him being like a coastal golf course guy. We saw him get his breakthrough last year, Punta Cana. So yep. Like we're looking at kind of a similar course comp to that. Joel Dahman's just somebody that I think can spike more upside than the 7,600 there. I think at 21%, I don't want to go nuts with him by any means, but between those three in this range, I mean, I like him all more than I like Keith Mitchell, Tom Hoagie. So if you just want to roster a little bit more Joel Dahman and eliminate anybody there, 7,600 outside of like Keegan, who's low owned for whatever reason, I think that that's probably the best way to do it. Just eliminating those two and just playing more Dahman.
Any interest in Dahman at a plus 500 for a top 10, 55-1 for an outright? Or are you like more of a DFS play?
I could probably do that with you. I mean, I know that you wrote him up. I just saw it because I looked up the betting article. I was like, you're just listing this off. And I added my portion on Maverick McNealer. Maverick McNealy, I should be able to say his name. That's important. But Joel Dahman, definitely somebody that can spike an upside there. Yeah, again, last week, I don't even really know what to say. 30 unders everywhere. This is not going to be all of that. It's still going to be pretty low because it's pretty darn nice outside there. But you're playing golf in a snow globe. But Joel Dahman's shown to be pretty good on these kind of coastal tracks.
He played last week. That's a big plus for me. Coastal tracks, irons can be good. The putter can be fluky, and that's okay. So I would have Dahman first in this group. I would have Kanaya second, though. I think that this is a guy, he's only 23. I am generally very late to the party with players like this. I've seen enough that he is in the pool. I don't think he's a strong play. I don't think he's clearly not a must play. I think he's worthy of being in the pool. So we got a couple guys I want to bring up around this, though.
Okay.
Siwoo Kim is $100 more than Joel Dahman. I think he's worthy of a play. 7,700 price feels right. And right below Kanaya is my boy, Emiliano Grillo. So I have to ask you, what do you do with him? What do you do with the sevens, some of the peripherals that we didn't talk about?
You play him and you pray.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I think
I am playing Grillo, obviously.
Well, yeah, no, you're obviously 7,300. I mean, it's a class of player. He's projecting out well with Osimo. It makes no – it's a cheap tag. I wish he were 8K so I wouldn't have to play him. But he's 7,300 down there with my boy Kazire, who I've randomly played probably more than I should from time to time. So I'm just going to not play Kazire this time around because that's just never gone well. I have a feeling, like a sneaking suspicion, that we're going to find one or two of these guys that really, really spike an upside. I think Rio is probably the most likely guy, sub 7,400 that I really want to be getting to, that I think could have some actual win equity. Brandon Grace would be another one where, not the longest hitter, but I do get a little bit worried just because tee to green, he's not been as good of late. So Brandon Grace, just he's been a better player long-term than he's been short-term. Definitely feel like Emiliano Grillo is a great bet this week, though, too.
A great bet, really?
Yeah, because he's the kind of guy that if the putter ever figures itself out, he's just going to start winning, like, a lot. And you're telling me you're not going to bet Grillo this week?
I mean, I may sprinkle just because I do that. You know, you're finding, I could find 130-1. That's probably good enough.
Yeah.
I will say for people, I mentioned this yesterday over on the Osimo Odds channel, which again, if you're looking for exclusive betting content, you can find me, Eric, and the whole team over there. Osimo Odds YouTube, Odd Shopper is what it'll be known as soon enough. Grillo found the form with the putter in the middle of the year. He gained strokes putting in 4 of 5 events. So no surprise during that, he had a runner-up finish. Then he lost strokes putting in 8 straight events, and he had 6 miscuts during that. So I don't know what happened. It seemed like he found it. He clearly lost it. The guy's a great ball striker. He's better than 7,300. You just have to know if you're going to roster him. There's a chance that he loses 5 strokes putting in 2 days, and he slams the trunk. It comes with the territory.
RSM 18th, 8th. And then last year, RBC Heritage 2nd, Corrales 6th.
He could, I mean, it fits. It fits.
And again, he's the dude where, and I think we had this conversation about his strokes gained approach, where he can't be flat in that regard. He has to be gaining 6 or 7. Like that's kind of the way that Grillo has to get it done. We started getting a little bit concerned simply because some of that data was just starting to get out of whack, where he was losing, like at the Rocket Mortgage, he was losing shots. Fortinet lost shots. When he was flat over the entire fall with his irons, there was nothing happening. What I'm hoping is that the irons can just flip to plus, you know, 6, plus 7 in this spot. Like we saw this summer, Charles Schwab, 8th, was 6.1. PGA, 7.5, 38th. That's hilarious. 7.1 for a 14th at the Wells Fargo. 2nd, at the RBC Heritage, 7.1, was actually gaining in the putter. And yes, the putter was positive in a lot of those, but what really separated himself was he was hitting it close. And if you can just be striping it, it takes a lot of stress off your golf game. That's probably why you saw him get positive in putting in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know you need to gain with the irons. If you get anything from the putter, that's just a luxury. That's a bonus. And that's what you have to plan for. Let's keep it moving because again, chat, you got some questions? You hit the like button, throw in a question. We happy to answer it. Adam Long pops at Coastal Tracks. Seems overpriced though. I think that in a large field tournament, Adam Long is an interesting play at 73. I just don't like the price tag. I'm with you. If he was 68, maybe. Anything from Adam Long for you?
Nope, nothing. He's not really somebody that I'm going nuts with. I'll have a little bit because I think it makes sense to have a little bit. He likes the coastal tracks for sure, but not going to be any kind of a stand for me this week.
As we work down though, you know, these are guys, they could be your last men in. There's some of the unknowns to me, and that's why I find them so interesting. A guy who we saw during the swing season that I'm buying on is Alex Smalley. He's flat seven near the min. Again, Yahoo, a lot of these guys are the straight min. Then we've got Thigala. We saw him really young, really talented, 6,700. Then we've got Nick Hardy, who we have seen a good amount as well, 6,600. Are these guys in the pool, and how do you rank them?
Well, I'm very biased to Thigala. Shout out Southern California Golf Association down here. Definitely just, he's a freak. The guy's an absolute freak. Eventually, we started to see some signs. The driver gets randomly very sporadic here, and I don't know if it's just something that we can just write off as a blip on the radar, but like, it's not even that it showed in the game data as much, but it shows up where you're watching him on TV and all of a sudden he hits it 50 yards right and it pops up out of nowhere. But if he keeps that in check, I mean, his game is as solid as it gets. Rest of the range here in this 6K spot, I mean, who else were you kind of throwing out there? There were a number of guys you put into the buckets.
So Nick Hardy is someone that I think is kind of interesting. Thigala, as you talked about, Alex Smalley is a little more expensive. But again, I think these are the type of players. We don't know a lot about them. We've seen some results, but they haven't broken through by any stretch.
Yeah. What do you think about Mark Hubbard? Because he's somebody that I keep rotating.
Hubba Hubbard?
Hubba Hubba Hubba. Yeah.
66. I mean, I like Nick Hardy. I think that he's just a cut maker. He does what he needs to do, but a cut maker, Mark Hubbard comes in. I know this form is not relevant right now, but the guy made seven straight to close the year, 13 of the last 14, not a lot of good finishes, but when you're down here, just find that weekend and you're going to return pretty valuable. So I have no problem with him in this range. I think there's better aggression, but if you're looking for just made cut equity, I think Mark Hubbard would be towards the top of the range. We had
iron player and putter. For me, that's kind of what it is and what I gravitate towards. And amongst this field, 35th strokes gain approach, 25th strokes gain putting here, 22nd around the green, just a short game specialist, 117th off the tee. So yeah, basically nice to have some short rough out here from Mr. Mark Hubbard.
We had a super chat from McGinty 64. Appreciate that. What do you guys think about the scrambling numbers for this course? See my question in premium Discord. I apologize, don't have our premium Discord open, but I can tell you the scrambling numbers here. So it's an interesting conversation. It's one of these things where at events like this, I don't factor in scrambling a ton, because if you're missing the greens, you're in trouble, not even because you can't get up and down, because you're probably not going to birdie. And at these courses, you need to be making birdies for the most part. So I don't think it's super punishing around the greens. I think, again, getting up and down, sand saves, all things like that are not going to be a problem here. Do you see anything? Yeah, just looking at some of the metrics, scrambling percentage is slightly higher here than an average tour event. So I don't think it's concerning. Should be pretty easy.
Let's take it with a grain of salt, though, too. You get some years are not equal at YLA. You'll get these crazy weeks where if the wind's spiking to 20, 25 miles an hour on this golf course, scrambling is going to be drastically more important because your chances of hitting greens just goes down drastically. You end up needing to rely on the short game a little bit more. You can't just play perfect golf. Well, in a bubble like this, somebody's going to go out and stripe the ball amongst, you know, this top 15, top 20 tier. Like there's a number of these guys as well that you're kind of listing off where they have great strokes gained, you know, for around the green here, Kazire, Malnati, Howell, Jones, Swafford, but can any of them hit the ball well enough in a bubble when it's not windy, when it's not going to matter as much, when the winning score is going to be in the 20s as opposed to the 10s? I'm going to say probably not going to be valuing it in whatsoever this week.
Good question though, because I think that's an important thing. It's a sliding scale.
It's a great
scale.
Question. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. We're going rapid fire. Just give me a yay or nay on some of these guys from chat. Jason Kokrak, he was awful last week.
Nay.
Nay. Shank.
Yay.
Interesting. Hudson Swafford.
It's not that he's good. You got to take some shots. Hudson Swafford, probably nay.
Doesn't fit the build, but he's an interesting name.
Hudson Swafford?
Yeah, like he's not he doesn't play like Kevin Na, obviously, but he has shown that, again, there's multiple ways to get it done at a course like this. He's atypical, but I think you could go there.
Shout out, I believe Sea Island Boys, but yeah.
Sea Island Mafia style.
There you go.
Ryan Palmer.
God, this just doesn't feel like a Ryan Palmer golf course whatsoever, does it?
I don't mind Ryan Palmer. The problem is opportunity cost. I like Bezenhout. I like Siwoo. Mm-hmm. I like Joel Dahman. Just not going to have room for Ryan Palmer.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Beezy. Love Beezy. I mean, you can't not like Beezy on any bubble golf course. Like, if we're playing golf in a snow globe, just give me Beezy.
Elite putter. When I say elite, like possibly best in the world. Ryan Armour.
God. Ryan Armour pops in so many weeks that I just don't.
He really does.
Like, out of the middle of nowhere. Like, I don't know how to quantify Ryan Armour week. Ryan Armour week is the weeks that you're just like, oh yeah, Ryan Armour's in the field. And then he's at the top of the leaderboard. That's usually like Memorial or something where out of the middle of nowhere, there's Ryan Armour. But I don't have any this week.
I'm just sticking with Ryan's. Ryan Moore,
I can get behind simply because, you know, you talk about going low. John Deere isn't like the perfect comp, but that's, of course, the first golf course you will always think of when you think of Ryan Moore. And that is just irons and putting it. And he can do that. I'm okay getting to a little bit of Ryan Moore. I have a little bit this week.
Hayden Buckley.
Do I even have him in the pool? I don't have him in the pool.
He's another one of those. Again, I think Hayden Buckley, you got to pick. You can't play them all. He's the unknown. Pendrith, yeah. Him, Smalley, Ramey, all these guys. Even Kramer Hickok a little. I think they're all reasonable. For me, Smalley and Hardy are above the rest, but they are playable.
Okay, that's fair. Somebody's asking about Aaron Rye. I was just thinking that Aaron makes me crave rye. Like, that's, I got to find something creative with that, like rye whiskey. There's a joke somewhere there. I'm looking for it on the fly. I'm not finding it.
That's in the hot take section. You can craft it. The Aaron Rye is an unknown, but the problem is the tax you're paying. So we just talked about Buckley, Thigala, Hardy, all these guys. Aaron Rye is $1,000 more expensive than all of them. He's competing with Bezenhout, Ryan Palmer, Siwoo Kim, and Joel Dahman. I don't mind him, but the opportunity cost, once again, is too big for me.
Yeah, $7,700. Can we just get the European Aaron Rye? Can we just get that? That would be really fun because I keep paying for it and I don't get it ever.
All right, here we go. Betting card. I like Joel Dahman. Certainly some of the guys that we talked about earlier, I think, are worth sprinkles in the outright market. Anyone you want to highlight? I have a couple matchups as well.
Ooh, I love the matchups. We'll get to that here. I added Dahman, so thanks for that, at schmoshmata.com. I'm going to be throwing that in. Yeah, so, you know, appreciate you. Corey Connors, I'm going to be betting him. It's a little bit short now at this point, but plus 450, plus 500, top five finish. If you can find a decent number on that, still do it. Maverick McNealy, 45-1, was always going to be on the card. First time playing the golf course, I really, really don't care. And then your boy Griot, 130-1. That's getting fired, no doubt about it.
I'm sure I'll sprinkle there. I will say.
I can't believe you didn't even have that on the card to begin with.
That's a different type of bet. It's like for people that may or may not be religious, you know, like some of
everybody
the religions, you have to like tithe. You give like a percentage. That's what I do with Griot. It's just donation station.
The church jokes really smash here in these streets.
You know how it is. I lost my train of thought. No. Okay.
Okay.
For people in New York, like me, and the lights are on. Certainly. We have the opportunity for matchups. Here's a couple of matchups. Let me know what you think. Joel Dahman, sticking with him, -110 over Kokrak. Kokrak, I think, is working through some things. He lost over 5 strokes with the irons and the putter last week. I think Dahman is just a lot more steady right now, and I'm getting basically even money.
Tall player syndrome. Yeah. Jason Kokrak, long way from the golf ball. You make changes, you better get back to that golf ball quicker. Sounds stupid, but it's a thing.
I think he's just not in form right now, and I'll take advantage of that until the books adjust.
Yeah.
Second one, Hideki, -120 over Kevin Na. I just think stability once again. Kevin Na has win equity, but when he doesn't, he's nowhere. I think Hideki will show up, as you mentioned. He gives you a lot of 20 seconds, 18ths. that's probably going to be good enough to cash that matchup more often than minus 120. I feel pretty good about that one.
Love that one.
Other than that, again, I think you want to build your card with the right risk tolerance. You've got the outrights, you've got the top fives, top tens. You certainly can check out the Odd Shopper platform for more of that. Let's get into, you want to build a couple lineups?
Let's do it. I'm here for that.
Do it. Here we go. Chat, it's time to build some lineups. I'm going to give you the honors. We're going to build a GPP lineup here.
Okay.
Let's do it. Start us off.
Well, we got to put our boy Leishman in. I think we've had enough conversation that allows for us to, if you want to continue this build going down in price, we can do that. If you want to go up to Cam or to anybody else above there in the 10K range, I'm fine with it too. But Leishman's going to be a staple in my lineup, so I'm going to click on him first.
Starting with Mark Leishman, I have absolutely no problem with that. I think he is in play in all formats. He's in play on all sites. Looking at Leishman right now, I just want to pull this up real quick. $38 on Yahoo. All of that, very, very solid. 10K. Let's do it. I'm going to save us a little money.
Okay.
I'm going to go to Maverick. 8,300. Nothing else to say. Just a buy. I think he's just a buy for us in general.
Okay. Who was that? Say it one more time. Somebody. Greg S.J. Yeah, Dennis Schroeder. He was always going to get there.
Maverick.
Don't you worry,
McNeely.
My freaking dude. Yeah, I love you so much. You would. Yeah, so you literally made my pick for me. So that's always very nice when somebody does that. Should we go back and bounce up to Corey Connors there at 9,600? I think we're both on the Corey Connors train, if I do recall.
We can do that. I have no problem with Connors. Okay. I think you like him a little more than me, but he's firmly in play. Elite ball striker. We'll see if the putting metrics can stay at Sony. That would be great. If not, it's going to be just fine. All right. I'm going to put in the play that I like the most, and that's Seamus. Mm-hmm. Another 8K guy. Again, macro buy. It leaves us with flat 7K. I think we have plenty of options there. And again, Seamus is just someone right now. I think he's just underpriced across the industry. And just for reference, this is just a guy, you know, 34 on Yahoo, 10-4 on FanDuel, 81. I think these prices could increase with some big performances this year.
All right. Well, we're going tournament. And I mean, I do like Thigala. I like my boy Sahith, but okay. I'm probably going to go a little bit north of that here. Okay. Let's get to, I'm going to just kind of let you pick the 6K guy that you want the most.
Sure.
I think we got to go click on Griot, 7,300. It's already discussed. Actually, you know what? No, because that's 7,300. That gives you 6,700. I want to give you access to the upper sixes.
No, I can deal if you want to go with Griot.
You can. I was going to give you Russell Knox because we haven't even talked about him. And he's somebody that I hate myself. But once again, could just spike at some of these. We're looking at like Bermuda T12 number. Like I think we can have a number of ways that we can maybe click on him. But sure, if you want to give me Griot, we can go to Griot.
Russell Knox is going to make an appearance in this show, just not yet.
No. It's not in a good way, obviously.
Yeah, we're going with Griot. $6,700. We have options. We could go to Kramer Hickok. We could go to Kyle Stanley, but that would be a disaster. The guy that I'm going to go with, I think we have two options here. If you want safety, I think it would be Mark Hubbard. You leave $100 on the table. He's a cut maker. I'm going to go with Nick Hardy, though. Okay. Nick Hardy is a guy that I feel pretty good. He's got experience on tour. He's made some cuts. Look what he did during the swing season. 3 or 4 cuts made. Just solid, solid player. And I think that one that we could look to in tournaments. We leave $100. We get a little leverage. I think that's an extremely sound and balanced lineup. And then if you want, you can make various 2v2s. You pay up, you punt another one. You bump down from Leishman. You go very balanced. A lot of things you can do off that build.
I love it. And again, we've got a number of these guys you can rotate. As I said, just get down to like one of them there. You've got Hubbard. You've got Hardy. You've got Brandon Wu. God forbid. That would be absurd. Ryan Moore, 6,500. I like clicking on that name a little bit. Even Steven Yeager is gaining a little bit of traction. He's more of a short game specialist, so not going nuts with him. But, you know, if he spikes some irons, there's going to be some upside from him eventually. Played too well on the web.com for, you know, too long to not necessarily be somebody that we can't click on.
Both Nick Hardy and Mark Hubbard are the flat min on Yahoo, literally the min. Those are the type of guys that you can find down there. To me, that's just, it's too appealing of a price tag not to at least consider them. So there you guys have it. All right. Show's not over. In some ways, it's just beginning. Here we go. I don't even remember what I said last week, but it lost. So I don't have any points on the board for my hot take. What was your hot take last week?
Sam Burns wins, and that did not happen.
So we're both pitching a shutout here. We've got no chat. If you've got hot takes, throw them in. And I'm going to ask one more time. Let's really try to pump up these likes for the end here before we get a little egregious at the end. We've got over 200 people in here. It's very, very exciting. And that is all appreciated to you. That's why we provide this show for free. If you can hit those likes and show that support, it would mean a lot. Just press that thumbs up. And if you like the content, subscribe to the channel if you're new. All right, I'm going first. I am going to set the tone and possibly derail the show to an unrecoverable level because Russell Knox is on my betting card.
Oh, God.
Top 10 at 10-1.
Okay. Now,
the last time that Russell Knox came in the top 10, I'm pretty sure we didn't even know what COVID was at the time. It's been a while. The guy has some serious issues with the putter, but I think we would both agree, at least I would agree, and you could push back if you want, that the type of course that Russell Knox has always excelled at is this type of course. Winner at the Travelers, second at RBC Heritage, second at OHL, second at Honda, third at OHL, third at Honda. It's the same type of courses. This is a guy who cannot compete on long driver heavy courses. If he can flip the putter, this is the type of event that Russell Knox should be good at long term. Now, if the form is not there, the form is not there. Give me 10-1 on Russell Knox top 10, a great GPP sleeper pick. Miscut equity through the roof. If you get it right, though, you could get paid off in a very, very big way.
Man, that was so fire. Like, you were just enthusiastic behind it. First of all, I'm happy that you didn't come at me with Russell Knox in a negative way, because that could have been really bad, because I do like Russell Knox. We didn't even talk about him. You said he was going to make an appearance on the show. I'm glad it was for the positive. For me, I kind of like already discussed him. He hasn't played this golf course whatsoever, but Maverick McNealy is somebody that you want to talk about getting in early on the ground level on a guy that started gaining some traction. He got the second at the Fortinet. That really started to gain a little bit of his traction. But I'm looking at the RBC Heritage, fourth. We're looking at Pebble Beach, second. We're talking, you know, obviously three different golf courses that are up in Monterey that you're playing in order to get to Pebble Beach. You're playing that twice in the week. But it seems like coastal tracks, shorter little tracks, that's not a U.S. Open Pebble Beach. That's more of the, you know, pitch and putt amateurs come and join you Pebble Beach. And that feels a little bit about what we're going to be facing with YLA. So I'm happy to be firing up a lot of him. I believe that, you know, in the same way that you believe in Seamus Power being very undervalued, I believe 8,300 there for him. Top five, lock it in, Maverick McNealy.
That's a good one. Not too, again, we're not getting too hot here. I'm just going to read a couple off from chat before we bounce on out. We got Jay Lizzie, hot take. Tyler Duncan, top 20. I like that. Wes Bryan, top 20. He's an extreme punt. Lebiota, top 10. Andrew Novak, top 10. I don't know who that is. You get double points if that comes through. Kanaya wins. If that comes through, you get a spot on the show, because that would be truly insane. McCarthy, top 10. I get that. These are some good ones. These are some good ones. Any final thoughts before we bounce on out of here, friend?
Just, you know, get these Utah late swaps in, make sure everybody's got it all set to go. I'm just making sure that I got no remnants of that Pascal character who was for sure going to ruin my lineups if he got stuck in any of them there. So got him out. But otherwise, guys, enjoy the golf. It's so great having golf back. It's great having a full field event to be able to kind of break down with you guys. If you love the show, hit the like button, subscribe, do all the things so we can keep showing up same time next week for you all.
Yes, sir. Well said. Again, follow us on Twitter at JazzDFS, at Eric Lindquist, and stay tuned for more content here at Awesome. Well, thanks to Tyler behind the glass. Good luck, guys, tomorrow. If you have any questions, hit us up. We will be back next week, same time, same place.